Rampage Dramas present One Man's Mother. This week's front page drama, One Man's Mother, is an original dramatization based upon a true life story which appears in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, under the title, The Tragedy of Errors That Took Three Lives. It is a tragic, moving story of a mother's misguided love and preaches a powerful lesson. This is but one of the many interesting and worthwhile stories and feature articles to be found in next Sunday's American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world, which comes to you each week with your Hearst Sunday newspaper. This is a story of life and death. Of love, hate, happiness, and tragedy. It can happen anywhere to almost anyone in any city, town, or hamlet. It has been told in fiction, drama, and in radio, perhaps as we are telling it now.
Evening News Chronicle.
Bureau of Circulation.
It's the Bureau, just a moment. Go ahead, please. Evening News Chronicle.
Lost and found department.
Lost and found, one moment, please. Here's your party. Evening News Chronicle.
Jesse, this is Happy Chapman. Give me the city desk right away. It's important.
Okay, Happy, just a moment.
City desk, what is taking?
This is Happy, Charlie. Stop press on the home edition. Just got a big break on a silver cord murder case.
Right.
Get this. Judge Parker opens criminal court this morning for the trial of old lady Jordan. There's a delay as the prisoner isn't brought in. The judge gets impatient. So I slip back to the bridge over to the jail, and McGinnis gives me the tip-off. Old lady Jordan died of heart failure as they were leading her out of her cell.
Got it.
It's a scoop, exclusive.
Okay, Chapman, that's enough. Get all details for the late afternoon edition. Bye. Hello, press room. Hold that home edition. I'm going to replay it. Story will be right down.
Ending silver cord murder case.
We are the dead. A few fast-moving days ago, we lived. Not like you, perhaps. Because we were prisoners within a vicious circle, bound securely one to the other with a silver cord, the blind, selfish love of a mother for a son. There was only one escape from the tragic, ever-tightening web of circumstances that held us in bondage. That escape was death. And one by one, the grim reaper freed us from life and gave us peace in his eternal sleep, in which only the soul awakens.
My son, do not speak with such sad bitterness. Hear me, my boy. I am at your side and always will be, to love and comfort you. I'll right the wrong I had so selfishly inflicted upon you. My husband, do you hear her? She is here between us just as she was in life. Her love is a mad, evil thing, so strong that even death itself cannot break its powerful grip upon us. There is no escape.
I am Miriam Ainsley Jordan. I married Robert Graham Jordan when I was just 20 and he was 28. Both of our families were fairly well-to-do, and we settled down to what everyone thought would be a successful marriage. Robert was a successful lawyer, an influential in young political circles, and was beginning a very brilliant career. 5 years later, our son, John, was born. It was soon after I discovered my husband was having an affair with another woman. I pleaded with him to give her up, but to no avail. The affair continued. But our social position and my husband's career forbade any scandal, so there was no talk of separation or divorce. I had loved my husband dearly, and I'd worshipped my baby. Therefore, when I realized I'd lost my husband's love, my whole love and devotion became centered upon my son. My love grew with the child from boyhood into manhood, until it almost became an obsession. We were never separated for as much as a day, even during his college years. He graduated with honors and became a successful lawyer. But even then, I steadfastly held the first place in his heart. Then she, Agatha Winslow, came into his life. In the very first meeting, I struggled to prevent her from taking my place in his affections. Then one evening, after dinner...
Now, please, Mother dear, don't take on so. Surely you must realize that someday I must meet the girl of my choice and finally marry her.
Yes, yes, I know, dear, but this... Well, it's all so sudden. Why, it seems as though it was only yesterday that you were my own little boy, going to school, and now you want to run off and leave me.
Oh, Mother dear, please be reasonable. You know I've been keeping company with Agatha for over 5 years. Surely you must realize that it isn't sudden. Besides, I'm not going to run off and leave you, darling. We're going to remain here in town. We'll build a home near you. And another thing, we're only becoming engaged now. It isn't as if we were being married tomorrow.
That's just it, my dear. Why must you tie yourself down just for your beginning a brilliant career? I'll admit I've rather sheltered you, and you haven't traveled and met many people. Why, Agatha is the only girl you've ever really gone out with. Why not wait? Think more, young women. Perhaps you'll find someone more suited to your temperament.
Mother, I don't want to wait. I love Agatha. I want to marry. I'm going to see her tonight, and I want to ask her to marry.
Then why haven't you confided in me before? Why do you wait until the very last minute? Is this the way you repay my years of love and devotion?
Oh, Mother.
From the time you were a small boy, I've given my whole life to your welfare. When vicious scandal threatened your future, I sealed you and fought to keep it from touching you. When your father died suddenly and his estate was jeopardized, I struggled day and night, schemed and saved to avert chaos, and finally received the major part of it to give you the best of everything in life. Now, when the first pretty girl turned your head, you shut me out of your life.
Mother, please try not to be unreasonable. Try to think things my way. Try to understand me.
Oh, how can you say such a thing? Who else in your life has worked hard to understand you, to give you everything you wanted in life? Agatha is a nice girl, a pretty girl, but she's not the girl to give you a lifetime of success and happiness. Oh, believe me, dear, I know. Everything I'm doing is for your good. But if you want to ignore my advice,
all right, Mother. Please, don't cry. Please, I'll bother you with this. I'll tell Agatha tonight. I won't bring you any more unhappiness.
I'm Agatha Winslow. I love John Gordon for 5 years. There were other men who loved me and offered me marriage, home, security, everything a girl lives and longs for in life. But I kept me away. I knew John loved me and I loved him. One day he would marry despite his mother's influence. Then came up 6 months, and John told me it was a secret. Impossible. My whole world came crashing down around my head. I couldn't sleep, or even think rationally. I began to brood and think of revenge. Then, I was blinded with jealousy. Blinded. That was it. Slowly the plan evolved in my poor sick brain. Then I leaped into action. After a sleepless night, I got up early. I went downtown and waited on the corner where John's office building was located. Then about 10 o'clock.
Call for me about 6, William. Don't forget to do that errand for Mother. Yes?
Well, Mr. George? John?
Yes?
Just a moment. There's something I have to say to you.
Agatha, this is a surprise. What are you doing here?
I've loved you. Waited for you for 5 years. I've refused all my other friends. I counted on your promise to marry me. But you cast me off, feeling sorry. But I've made up my mind to one thing. If you won't have me, you won't have anyone else. I gave myself up to the police. Refused any efforts of my friends and family to have me released on bail. Alone in a prison cell, the terrible consequences of my hatred played upon my mind. I begged for a few more to legal defense. The day of my trial came.
Jason People versus Agatha Winslow. Charged assault with intent to kill.
Proceed.
If it pleases Your Honor, the prosecution has secured a plea of guilty from the prison. It has refused all efforts to furniture with adequate defense counsel. The prisoner enters a plea of guilty to the charge, expects no mercy from the court, and desires immediate sentence.
If it pleases the court, I should like to enter a plea on the prisoner's behalf.
Being duly qualified to practice law in this state, I see no objection. If the prosecution is willing.
No objection, Your Honor. Bailiff, assist Mr. Jordan.
Very well, Mr. Jordan. You may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. This girl, Agatha Winslow, who appears here as a prisoner before the bar, is innocent. Yes, innocent. Even though I appear here without my sight as the result of her act of indiscretion. I alone am guilty for what has occurred. I loved Agatha Winslow. I love her now and always will. I was weak. I listened to the constant pleading and objections of my mother. Her influence upon me, whether for right or for wrong, does not matter. But because I was weak and her influence strong, I did this girl a grave injustice. I ruined her life by breaking off a long engagement, which I realize now is a prelude to a happy marriage. I am ready to right the wrong I have done her. And if she will have me, I will marry her the moment she is free. I humbly beg this court to bear this in mind. Temper justice with mercy and give her a chance to enjoy the happiness that has been denied her.
Very well, Mr. Jordan. The prisoner will be released in your custody and I will suspend any sentence.
John and I were married. John had taken a firm stand with his mother and to all outward appearances, she became resigned to our marriage. She even made a few half-hearted attempts in John's presence to make me welcome. The friends warned me not to be deceived. They told me my mother-in-law was seething silently with jealous anger.
She was brooding heavily and often remarked that she had not gained a daughter-in-law but lost a son. One afternoon, I was home alone, and she paid me a sudden visit. Why, Mother dear, this is a delightful surprise. Please let me have your tea. Here, sit down, dear. This is a very comfortable chair. I'll have some tea made.
You do not put yourself out on my behalf. I am not saying, and I don't want you to refer to me as Mother.
Oh, please, no. Mrs. Jordan.
Don't interrupt me. I've just come to tell you how much I hate and despise you. You, the woman who has destroyed everything I hold dear. My son's love, my home and happiness. You destroyed his sight for your vicious temper. But your days of destruction are at an end. I have come to destroy you.
My mother, where did you get that gun? You're mad! You say, put it down!
The police notified me of the terrible tragedy that has occurred in my home. I hurried home and found my mother had been taken away and locked up, charged with murder. She told her story briefly and without any sign of emotion. Then all reason fled, and blindly I groped my way to my room. I felt around for the middle drawer of the desk in my room. My fingers touched the cold steel of the barrel. I slowly withdrew the weapon from the drawer, raised it to my head, pressed the trigger.
I was left alone, locked in a prison cell, taunted and insulted by the riddled shouts of my fellow prisoners. On the outside, the scandal rocked the town. Feeling ran high. The newspapers built up the forthcoming trial into a gigantic legal spectacle. But I knew that I would disappoint them. The day dawned, and they came for me when the hour of the trial approached. I arose, drew myself up to walk through the cell block over the bridge to the courtroom. But I walked into the valley of the shadow of death.
You have just heard the front page drama, One Man's Mother, an original dramatization based upon a true life story which appears in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world that comes to you each week with your host Sunday newspaper.